the Mills Fleet Farm Studios. WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie. A Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Tyus, how did you do that? Down the stretch, this big a stage, how did you handle it like that?
My teammates and the coaching staff, they've given me confidence, and they believed in me and trusted in me all year. And there's never been a moment where, you know, they doubt me. And it was just, they trusted me, you know, to make a play. And that's the biggest thing, you know, about this team is we never want to let, you know, one another down.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah,
especially in the second half. 19 of his 23 points in the second half. 5 rebounds. He had an assist, and he just took over the game. I mean, him and Grayson Allen. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, Duke was about Jahlil Okafor, the presumed number one overall pick. Justice Winslow, a presumed top five pick. The star of that team last night and the most outstanding player was Tyus Jones.
Hands down.
What's that?
Hands down.
Oh, it wasn't even close. I mean, but, you know, Tyus, I think his game, those are things he could have done at any point, but he had other players, and he felt his job was to distribute and get the ball to Okafor and get the ball to Winslow and get it to other members of the team. But when he saw that there's no Winslow or Winslow and Okafor were dealing with foul trouble, he just took it over. I mean, I got to think his draft stock for the NBA has really climbed. I mean, I think he should have been a lottery pick anyway, but he's moved up after last night, after the weekend that he had.
Yeah, when I was watching that game towards the end and the clock strikes zero, Duke wins, I was sitting there staring at the TV going, Duke didn't win that. Tyus Jones just won that.
He did. And that Grayson Allen was phenomenal, too.
Yeah.
He's not going to be coming out.
He was quite a spark for that team.
But he is going to be, he will be a spark plug for them next year. And, you know, we're all assuming that Tyus is going to come out. I don't know that it's a slam dunk. We actually, his mom is driving back from Indianapolis, and we're going to talk to her in a few minutes, what it's like to be in the stands with her family, watch your son just light somebody up. And our pal Kelly at Kelly in Vegas, when Okafor went out after he picked up would have been his fourth foul when he went to the bench, she texted me, so I texted back, Tyus has taken over this game, and he did. She even gave me props on Twitter for calling that he would take over the game. It was fun to watch, and I think that, 651-989-9105, if you're a Minnesota fan, you had to love what Tyus did in that game and how much fun it was to watch him take over the game. And not only that, but you also, if you're a Minnesota fan, you had to just shake your head at Bo Ryan afterward. He could have shown a lot more class than he did. You know, complaining about the refs and also talking about rent a player. Come on.
That happens. Complaining about the refs, that happens after any team plays against Duke.
But you know what? The only thing, and I do, it was the play, the one play that they were griping about was the play where you couldn't tell if it went off of Winslow's fingertip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, until the late angle they got, it looked like it might have, but the angles they were seeing, they may not have seen the angle that they finally, it took them a while for CBS to come up with that angle that showed that it looked like it did come off of his fingertip.
I was okay with that call staying.
I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Because there wasn't really definitive evidence that he did touch it.
Yeah.
And I just thought there were a couple other calls. Winslow should have followed out. He got away with two charges.
It was both sides.
And then he stepped out of bounds. And then for Duke, Okafor, I think it was his third or fourth foul that he picked up on Kaminsky.
Some of those were foul. You cannot complain if you're Wisconsin when two of their three best players wound up getting, you know, dealing with four fouls. And as a matter of fact, that the third best player wound up taking over the game, being the most outstanding player. And you know what I wonder? I wonder what it's like to be the mom of a kid like that, sitting in the stands watching her son win a national championship. What would that be like, Debbie Jones? Do you know?
Hi, Bobby. It would be great.
Congratulations. That had to be one heck of a fun night for you and your family.
Thank you very much. Yes, we thoroughly enjoyed it. We had a great time, and working on not a lot of sleep as we head back.
Oh, I bet not.
We sure had a lot of fun.
Well, it had to be. I mean, I know that you were there, and, well, Trey was there. Your other son, JD, was there. And I know you had other family and friends at Indianapolis. Did you just look at each other when Tyus took over down the stretch and say, we've seen this before?
Well, yes, we did do that. We did a lot of hugging and jumping and yelling and, you know, all that. But, yeah, it just kind of... It's not that you expect it, I guess, but, you know, at the same time, you just kind of wait for him to, you know, do his thing, and that's what he did, and just had a great ending.
Well, see, and I said this earlier before you came on, that this is something that Tyus is capable of, and it wasn't any game, but he distributed through the year. If they would have needed him, and when they did need him, he did step up in, big in some games, but he had, you know, Jahlil was there, and Justice Winslow was there, and he didn't just take over a game other times, you know, in when he had to. But here, these two guys are in foul trouble. First, you know, this Grayson Allen did great, but then I don't know that I've seen a game where one player took over down the stretch the way he did. He willed and made sure that team did not lose the national title. And that was what was so much fun, particularly, I think, for Minnesotans to see a kid from Apple Valley, you know, and everyone knows who he is from having watched him, to see him do what he did on an international stage, not just a national stage. It had it's sinking in for you, I'm sure, but it'll probably be a while before you realize just how big a deal that was.
Yeah, I totally agree with you in every aspect. I mean, I do think he, you know, continues to step up and do what is needed. And, you know, just the, you know, everything last night, you know, just the venue, the people, the, you know, the crowd, just the enormity of everything was just, you know, off the charts. I mean, you can't begin to describe it unless you've been there and see it and feel it, and it's truly amazing. And you know, we just got, you know, so excited and caught up in everything, and I mean it's just amazing what he continues to do.
And we're talking to Debbie Jones, Tyus Jones' mom, and now you got on. I kept seeing his mother right behind the bench. Where were your seats? Did they give Duke parents seats like that?
Yes, we were right behind the bench.
That had to be absolutely wonderful, because I noticed you did get on the floor in you know, pretty quickly, which was they showed mostly just the back of your head, so they didn't they didn't give you the good props. But it was kind of neat though, because I knew that you had gotten down to where he was. And you know what was neat about Tyus afterward? I mean, obviously he had a great time, but when he started looking, he wanted the hat. Because they didn't give him a hat. Everybody else had one. So it was kind of neat for him to make that gesture. Give me a hat.
Uh-huh.
So it was fun. Now what did you were there, Trey was there, JD was there, and I know you had, how many people from Minnesota were in your contingent or your group?
Well, we had my sister and her husband were there, my mom was there, JD, his wife, two kids were there, Tyus, the father, and his wife, and my brother and his wife and her sister. So yeah, we ended up buying a number of tickets, you know, to get everybody there.
Yep.
But we had a nice crowd.
Now, let me add up with, or help me add this up for your family. Your sister, and you didn't mention, we talked last week, I didn't realize she was the AD at De La Salle.
Yep, she is.
So, state championship for De La Salle, your sister's school, state championship for Trey, and these were, what, 5 weeks ago, and now a national championship. Your family is 3-0 in championship games this year. What have I missed? Anything? And JD is an assistant coach at Apple Valley. Your oldest son.
That is correct. We're kind of on a roll right now.
Yeah, by God, I'd say so.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty special.
Well, it's just it's wonderful. Now, how far out of Indianapolis are you now?
Oh, let's see. We're probably halfway home.
Well, that's not so bad.
No,
so,
not at all.
Are you must be in what, the just heading into Wisconsin, or you're going to be? Are you in Wisconsin yet?
I don't think we're in Wisconsin yet. We're getting close.
Yeah, because I've made that drive, not from Indianapolis, but I've made it from Indiana before, and it's a little bit of a ride. But I tell you what, you're probably riding on a nice little cushion of excitement. It'll make the trip go a lot better, because you must still be reliving the game.
There's no question. Constant talk about, you know, different situations, and I mean, it's it's going very fast.
I bet. Well, Debbie, I'm not going to keep you. I'll let you get back to the road. I just wanted to touch base with you. And I, if there's a time this week, as I mentioned to you last week, be great to have you, Trey. Well, you, Trey, JD, and if Tyus is, we can get him by phone. It'd be wonderful if you guys had time to come in and join us in the studio, and then we can get Tyus on the phone, because it'd be a lot of fun. People would love to hear from all of you, and you know, they'd love to hear from JD, because they don't, you know, people started following your family with Tyus. And you got another kid there who's been involved. How many state championships was he involved with as a coach? Did he coach 2 years ago when Tyus won as a junior? So he's 2-0, or he's got two state championships, and Trey's got one, and Tyus has one. Now you have my God, I can't keep track of these championships your family has accumulated. It's just wonderful.
Yes, it is. It is truly a blessing, and we are enjoying every minute of it.
Debbie, thank you again, and we'll certainly stay in touch. We'll set something up so we can get your whole family on with us. Have a great trip back.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Bob.
All right. Bye-bye. Debbie Jones, Tyus's mom, Trey's mom, JD's mom. That could you imagine that, though, to be in the stands to watch a sibling, or, you know, you don't have any kids, but to watch a family member have the game Tyus had?
Yeah, well, if it was my family, we'd be extremely jealous of the person out there saying, why isn't it me?
It's probably true in a lot of families. You'd see that sort of thing happening.
Quite a rivalry we had.
Yeah. But it's great, and I'm happy because, I mean, Debbie has done a great job with, you know, raising, JD, Tyus, and Trey, and, I mean, they're just great kids. I wrote a blog today talking about the two people that I root, the only two people in decades of covering sports I've ever rooted for, were John Gilardi, the 60-plus year coach that was at St. John's, and Tyus. Because I met Tyus, I think I've told you, as a 15-year-old at Apple Valley, did a story on him, or a column. He was the most impressive 15-year-old I ever met. He was a sophomore then. I mean, he was mature beyond his years. There are certain people you meet that you know are going to be a success. Like you, when I met you, I knew never.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen for you.
Just not a chance.
No chance at all. But Tyus, you could tell that he was a special young man. He was going to want, you know, he was going to make his mark. And I mean, he's not done. I mean, whether he stays at Duke or turns pro, he's going to have a great career and in and out of basketball.
Yeah, I haven't seen somebody close out a game like that on that stage since Mario Chalmers in 2008.
Yeah, it's
against Memphis, because he drilled that three to send it to overtime, and then he hit two or three big threes in overtime to clinch the win. And Tyus just had no fear.
No, and like, you know, people like Kelly at Kelly in Vegas. She did take Duke, and she bet Duke, but she didn't. She figured with Okafor and Fowler, that's what's most impressive. The guy presumed to be their best player in the country. I mean, Kaminsky did get the Naismith Award, but the first guy drafted is likely to be Okafor. For him to be in foul trouble all that game in Winslow, no one would expect what happened. I think people in Minnesota who watched him play would. And I talked to his high school coach at Apple Valley, Zach Goring, who said, I saw that plenty of times, but they were in small gyms throughout Minnesota where not a lot of people saw it, where Tyus would just take over a game. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk to Zach in the next break, because he had he said he first noticed how good Tyus was when he was in kindergarten. He knew this kid was special. You know, and Trey is a special player too, who's going to attract a lot of attention as he gets old. And Trey's only a freshman. So, I mean, he's got a great basketball future ahead of him, too. We will be right back. We'll take a quick break. Thank you again to Debbie Jones, Tyus and Trey's and JD's mom for taking the time with us on their way back from Indianapolis. Congratulations again to Tyus Jones and Duke. The most outstanding player in Duke's win was Minnesota's own Tyus Jones. And we will be right back. We'll talk to Zach Goring, the Apple Valley coach, when we return.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We are back, and we are joined by Zach Goring, the Apple Valley coach, who I'm thinking is very pleased that Tyus's family settled in Apple Valley in that area and not in a northern suburb. Am I right about that, coach?
Absolutely. We've enjoyed having both Tyus and Trey in our program, and certainly glad they landed in Apple Valley.
And you also have, and JD, their older brother, is one of your assistant coaches, right?
Right. JD's a big part of our program, and yep, he's a varsity assistant. And, you know, we had a really neat experience last year in that Tyus was a senior, Trey was an eighth grader, and JD was on staff, so they got to spend 1 year together which was really neat.
That had to be a lot of fun for you. You know, as time goes on from this, a lot of people will just assume when they hear that younger brother Trey won a state title and, you know, as a junior, Tyus won, they just would assume that the senior year they must have won also. I mean, that had to be, were you surprised when that, you know, the way that year went? Because you had, I mean, you had talent, but you hit a good team. It happens.
Yeah, we did. It happens, and it's high school basketball. It was as tough of a defeat as I've ever had in basketball. I think many people are looking forward to seeing Tyus in the state tournament last year and hopefully, you know, winning another title for our school. But you got to give Creighton credit. You know, they were, I think they were 13 of 25 from threes that night.
Jeez.
And, you know, we only made three threes that night, so we were minus 30 in the three-point department and still lost in double overtime. So, you know, they played great. We didn't play our best game. You know, so we were able to come back this season and beat them in the section and qualify for the state tournament. So we got some revenge there, but
we had a great year this year, obviously.
Yep.
Now, talking to Zach Goring, the basketball coach at Apple Valley, Coach Tyus, throughout his career since he was an eighth grader. Now, I talked to your athletic director earlier, and he was a little surprised from what he said when you went in and said, I've got an eighth grader I'm going to start. You had no reservations about this, though, right?
No. And I had watched him quite a bit, and I remember that conversation with our athletic director. And you know, we have a policy in our school district called the gifted athlete rule that if you bring an eighth grader up to the high school, they can't play in the ninth grade, the 10th grade, or the JV. They need to play on the varsity. And it was just something we had never done. And, you know, it was also my first year as a head coach. So me walking in as a rookie coach saying, hey, I need this eighth grader. but to Pete's, Pete accepted him and said, all right, I trust you. And then once people started seeing him play, it was a no-brainer that he belonged at that level.
And obviously it was the same thing with Trey, because he was a reserve, though, on your team last year, right, as an eighth grader?
He was. He played behind Tyus. So,
tough to overtake that kid.
If Trey would have been 1 year younger, I think we would have been looking at the same sort of situation where, you know, Trey would have been a five-year starter, too. But they overlapped a year. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have those guys as point guards for 6 years now, and we'll have Trey for three more. So, you know, 9 years with one of those two as a point guard makes us a pretty good club.
We know it's amazing, because I remember when I talked to Tyus as a sophomore, he was 15. He graduated at 17, or he just turned 18 when he graduated?
Yeah, he has, I believe, he's got a May birthday, so he's just 18. You know, and if you think about that,
it's amazing.
You know, how old are those Wisconsin kids, those juniors and seniors?
30.
And, you know, even redshirt seniors. So the things he's able to do, and he's 3-4 years younger than many of those kids on the floor last night, is amazing.
Well, that's what's impressive about it, because, I mean, it's his you know, his mom and did not accelerate him or hold him back a year, which a lot of people do when they have kids. I mean, he would have been in kindergarten, but a lot of people, they don't care. They hold him back, figuring even if they're good, they don't know how good they can be, but they think they'll be better because they have that extra year. But he really, I mean, when you think about it, many kids his age right now would be high school seniors.
That's crazy to think about if he would have been on our team again this year. But,
oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I think we could have found a spot for him.
You think? Yeah, it's maybe. Now, is Trey also, is he the same year you would age you would expect a freshman to be? Is he 14?
Trey has turned 15 already. He had a birthday over during the season here. So
okay, but
he's
still.
A little bit,
but there's nothing wrong with that. Now, last night, watching the game, you watched it at your home last night, right?
I did, yep.
And when you sat and watched him do some of the things he did, it had to be, because we talked briefly about this before, it had to be like watching a lot of things he did in high school where, you know, basically it's like a switch. When he needed to turn it on last night, he did. He could just take over. I mean, it's one thing to take over a game in high school, but to take over a national championship game against the Naismith Award winner, first-team All-American, only unanimous All-American, that's incredible.
You're right. And like you said, I've seen that play out many, many times, and I think if you talk to many high school coaches in the area, they've seen that play out as well, but it was in our gym, you know, that only holds, you know, 1,500 people. It wasn't in front of 71,000 on national TV for the national championship. So, you know, even the North Carolina games this year, you know, he was the best player on the floor, and, you know, Michigan State, and when they played Wisconsin the first time, he's got something about him that he just takes it to another level, you know, when they're playing the best teams and the chips are on the line, and, you know, nothing rattles him. If that was a normal player out there, they'd be very nervous, I would imagine, playing, you know, in front of that environment. But to Tyus, it seemed like it didn't bother him.
No, I mean, not the way he was knocking down shot after shot. Now, when the game was over, if I were you, if I had coached Tyus Jones, I'd run through the streets in my neighborhood yelling, I coached him in high school. What did you do? Just smile when it was over? Or did you, did you call anyone? Or have you spoken to him yet?
My phone was on fire last night, let's just say that, with the text messages.
Yeah.
Our family watched the game in front of the TV, and the neat thing about that is Tyus made such an impression upon so many people that I think many have latched on and had a lot of enjoyment from his success. He's always treated people, you know, whether it be teachers around school or students or teammates, the right way that you know, people are genuinely happy for him. And I think the state of Minnesota got quite a bit of enjoyment out of last night, too, because I think everyone maybe has a little bit of a connection to Tyus, whether you've watched him play a high school game or maybe had some sort of interaction where, you know, there was something in it for the people of Minnesota last night and to beat our rivals. To the east is a good thing.
That was huge. You know, imagine all the Gopher fans saying, my God, if we had Tyus Jones, we would have made it to the NIT this year.
Right. For all those people who were mad that he didn't come to the University of Minnesota, hopefully they've forgiven.
I think they have.
He beat the Badgers and just let them have the national title.
Zach, let me. The one thing, I mean, I think his draft stock, and whether he stays in college or not, but at some point he's going to the NBA.
Yeah.
Do you think... Is his height any, is that going to hurt him? I think he could hurt him be where he's drafted a little bit, but once he gets in the league, I don't think he's going to be, you know, in any kind of difficulty. I think he's going to be dominant there too, because he's such a, he has just a will and a talent. There's more than just the talent though. There's that, like you say, there's something special about him.
Yeah. I think, he'll definitely excel at the next level. That just because of the fact he has such a high basketball IQ, and, you know, the NBA is so much screen and roll, and that's, you know, his bread and butter. You know, also in the, you know, I thought he had problems with his size too in college, but, you know, Coach K did a great job. And if you notice last night, Duke switched every screen, every interchange out front to keep Tyus, you know, on the top of the key instead of in the post. And, you know, the coaches in the major college basketball and the NBA, they know what they're doing. And, you know, hopefully his size won't be a problem for him in the NBA. I think he'll have a great career, though, just because he understands the game so well and will put his teammates in a spot to be successful.
Now, we're talking to Zach Goering, the Apple Valley coach. He has Tyus' younger brother, Trey, for three more years. And, yep. Boy, that's got to make you feel awfully good.
It does, and, you know, I've had Jones at the point guard now for 6 years, and Trey three more, and, you know,
9 years, wow.
Yep, 9 years. Trey is a really, really good player, too. Trey will be a major Division I prospect, and many of the colleges that chased Tyus once upon a time are coming back now and starting to chase Trey as well, and we also have a sophomore in Gary Trent Jr. that's a top 20 national recruit, and, you know, high school, it's about the kids, and when you get kids that can really play, then you're going to have a good group, so we're kind of riding a wave right now at Apple Valley.
Well, and just to let people know, if they don't know, Champlain Park, undefeated, you play them for the state championship. How many of your, and that's a rhetorical question, how many of your starters were seniors in that game?
None. Nope.
The number was zero. You had three kids coming off the bench who were seniors, but that entire starting lineup that won the state title is back for you next year.
Correct. But our seniors that came off the bench was a huge, huge part of our team. So I know. We're going to need to replace those guys. Those guys had huge buckets in the state tournament for us. So But you're right. We have our all five starters back next year and certainly have an X on our back. And, you know, we've kind of gotten used to that, though, with Tyus being here. And now this next group of kids has, you know, got a lot of highly recruited and type kids. So we're excited about it. And, you know, it's a good time to be a part of Apple Valley basketball with the success we've had and now able to follow Tyus and share in that success as well.
Well, Zach, talking to Zach Goering, the Apple Valley basketball coach, Coach Tyus, now coaches Trey Jones. Zach, I'm not going to give you basketball advice. I'm going to give you life advice. Live in a bubble until the next season. You don't want anything to happen to mess right. this up in any way. So make sure right. you take care of yourself and protect yourself in some plastic bubble. Because you have one heck of a career. You've had a great career there already with two state championships, but the times ahead could be so, I mean, it could be incredible what happens with that program.
It could. And it's, you know, it's about the kids we get here and, you know, they've all bought into what we're trying to do and work hard and, you know, Apple Valley is a great place to go to school and, these kids are great to work with. So I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, Zach, thanks so much, and you're doing a great job down there at Apple Valley. Thank you again, Zach Goering.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk to Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist. I asked, you know, because have you seen or will you see Furious 7?
I haven't seen it, but I haven't seen the last, like, three.
Okay, well,
so
I mean,
I'm way behind.
Well,
I'd be lost.
I enjoyed it. I liked it, and... The Rock is in it. You know, he was an NFL player for a while, a WWE player. So the question I had for Tim, and we'll talk about that, the best former athletes to become movie stars. You know, because Rock did it. He made the transition. And Burt Reynolds was not a pro player, but he was. But when we get back, if you want to add to that, by the way, who do you think were the best former athletes to become actors or movie stars? 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. You are always welcome to call and pick up that phone and get calling. We'll be right back with Tim Lammers. We are joined by Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist. Reviews on Care 11, News at 11 on Fridays, Mondays on the Tom Bernard Show, appears on KQ. And he also has a website, directconversations.com. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. You were vocalizing the Eye of the Tiger there. I could hear that.
Yeah, it's catchy.
Bow, bow, bow.
It's very catchy. Very catchy.
Well, one of those movie songs you never get sick of, really.
No. I was just wondering who will play Tyus Jones in the movie Duke Wins, kicks Wisconsin ass.
Oh, wow.
So we'll have to see that. Now, we had talked briefly, and I did see Furious 7, which I enjoyed. Obviously a lot of plot holes, but it's not, you don't watch it for a good plot. You watch it because it's good action and it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, too, I mean, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, I thought he actually had been with an NFL team. He was on the University of Miami's 1991 national championship team and played with the Calgary Stampeders of the CFL, the Canadian Football League. And played a few years with them, and then he went into professional wrestling.
Oh, okay.
But the question I was saying, I mean, Jesse obviously did it too, Jesse Ventura, but there's no pro wrestler that has had a bigger splash in movies. No one has touched The Rock, right, when it comes to movies?
No.
Is
this
somebody
not
way back? I don't think so.
Not by a long shot, really. I mean, I guess if you want to look at Hulk Hogan and his appearance in that Rocky movie, and I'm sure Hulk had a couple other direct-to-video movies or whatever. But,
no.
Yeah, The Rock, it's amazing the career transformation that this guy has made. And I just think it's really because of his charm. I mean, the guy is very charismatic.
He's likable, yeah.
And, I mean, I really like him as an actor. I mean, he's not a Shakespearean actor by any sort of stretch.
No.
But he certainly is the sort of guy that you like seeing. He's a likable guy. He doesn't really seem to play a lot of villains, which is probably good, because obviously you pigeonhole him in that area, and then that's all he's going to be playing. So, yeah, I really like the guy as an actor, and he was in the movie The Game Plan, and I actually interviewed him for that picture. And he's just a very nice guy and very humble, you know, he realizes that he's lucky. And you know, that's the sort of guy that you want to see succeed.
Well, probably the only movie he wishes he, if he had a do-over, he may not do The Tooth Fairy. Where he played the Tooth Fairy.
Well, yeah.
But that had a hockey theme to it, too, right? Was it hockey? It was hockey, right? I think so.
I can't quite recall, but, you know, he has done, you know, like The Game Plan, like I say, that's a football movie at least. It's rare that he, he's Pain and Gain. I don't know if you would, I guess you could classify weightlifting. I mean, obviously in the Olympics it's a sport, but, you know, they're pumping iron in that film, but it's not necessarily about sports. But I guess he's kind of a bad guy in that movie. But again, the sort of likable bad guy that you kind of want to root for in an odd sort of way.
He actually, you know, you mentioned The Game Plan. Before that, he made a movie called The Gridiron Gang.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of his best movies because he did it was about, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one about him taking over basically was a juvenile delinquents that he worked with and turned into, they all were in a detention center. He turned it into like a good championship type team, and it was pretty darn good. I mean, the guy is not a bad actor for a guy. I mean, it's not like, who is it, John Cena made some movie called Marine or The Marine. Oh, my God, that was horrible.
Well, you know, and when you were mentioning other wrestlers that have gone on to do things, you know, I thought about maybe because you were playing the Rocky music, it planted that little seed in my mind about Hulk Hogan being in that one movie. But John Cena is another one that came to mind. But apart from that, I guess, you know, when Stone Cold, he and Kevin Nash, I believe, they were in the Longest Yard remake. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, they recruited some guys for that picture. I mean, they're big dudes. And, you know, from what I can remember, they were actually pretty good. Now, Kevin Nash was also in the movie with John Travolta. What was that one called? The Punisher, where he was a bad guy. I think he was the Russian in that picture. So, you know, obviously, anytime you need these hulking, huge figures, I mean, obviously, these are the sorts of guys you want to call first. So I think a lot of these guys, you know, are bound to find work, you know, in front of the camera. Plus, there's WWE Films. I mean, they actually created a film division. I don't know necessarily to foster those sorts of guys.
Well, it clearly, talking to Tim Lammer, syndicated movie journalist, yes, that's why John Cena made a movie, because that was underwritten by WWE Films.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, WWE Films isn't all, you know, wrestling film related. Either, I mean, I should say wrestler related. Halle Berry did a movie called The Call, which is about this 911 operator, and that was actually a WWE
film. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so, and actually very good.
It wasn't
good
bad at all.
Yeah, so, they've expanded into that area of entertainment, and why not? I mean, these guys, what they do, I wouldn't want to attempt it, but it is a performance art. You know, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's acting because I don't want to tick anybody off.
No. No, completely, Tim, completely understandable.
It's choreography. There's a lot that goes into it.
Well, let me just ask you this, because I did like it. What did you think of Furious 7? What you expected?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think I took the last one just way too seriously because it was so over-the-top stupid that, you know, I really hated it. This one I kind of relinquished. I thought, you know what?
Just go with it.
They know it's stupid going in, and they're reveling in the ridiculousness of it, you know? So I guess, you know, and clearly, as you probably discovered, Bob, I mean, each sequence where it got more and more outrageous, I mean, you're talking about parachuting cars.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Driving between towers in Dubai, and, I mean, I'm talking about between towers, like, up in the 60th, 70th floor.
Going from one, hopping from one building to the next, or jumping cars from one building to the next.
Yeah. Now, you know, so I was thinking, you know, the film franchise has really turned into, you know, obviously an action mercenary sort of film franchise, whereas, you know, I think when it started, it was more or less like a street racing deal.
Yes.
You know, so I thought of, you know, racing films that might be good to kind of like quench your thirst if you're into that sort of thing. And man, I tell you what, Bob, I keep coming back to a movie in 2013 that didn't do anything.
Which one?
Rush, with Chris Hemsworth as James Hunt, the Formula One movie. about him and Niki Lauda.
Yeah, not many people saw it at all.
Oh, and it is a great movie, one of my favorite movies that year. And look, I'm not a race car fan, and I love this movie. It's just a fascinating story between this intense rivalry between these two guys. And it's a true story. I mean, it's based, Daniel Brühl plays Niki Lauda. And, you know, again, not knowing much about the sport, not knowing the history of it, you know, the history of this rivalry, it's a really great, you know, intense drama directed by Ron Howard, no less, a sports drama in a sense. But it's a good character drama, too, so check that movie out. It's just a spectacular movie.
Well, TMZ had caught up with Jeff Gordon, and he wants him to make another Days of Thunder movie, which yeah. I don't think that'll be happening. But he's under the mistaken impression that Tom Cruise's character was mimicking him. I don't even know if Jeff Gordon was around when that movie was made. That's like 25 years ago, right?
Yeah, Days of Thunder was made in 1990, right on the mark there, Bob. Yeah, so you're right. Were they foreshadowing something? Who knows?
I don't know, but I mean, it was all right. I was not that, you know, wasn't over the top crazy about it. I do have one question about you before we let you go about was it Furious 7 or that's what it was called?
Yeah.
I can't even remember the right name of it. I knew it had 7 in it. Was anyone a stand-in for Paul Walker, or was all the filming done when he died?
He was working on the film when he died, and he had two brothers stand in for him. You know, I couldn't tell. I'm sure you couldn't either.
Actually, the only time I thought that might be a stand-in was the very last scene, because they had long shots of him with, you know, his movie wife and kid.
Yeah.
Where they weren't close-ups.
That's a good observation, Bob. You know, it's interesting. One of his brothers, I saw a picture of them together. One with sunglasses on, you couldn't tell the difference between
really?
Him and Paul. The other one didn't quite look as much like Paul. He was a lot shorter. But there was one of them that looked a lot like him. Now, maybe they had him made up to look like him, same sort of haircut, whatever. But, yeah, I really couldn't tell. But, yeah, that's a good point, you know, with the ending. I think the key to that movie was finding a graceful way to exit.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, they're not going to want to kill off his character. And, you know, that's not a spoiler alert for anybody. I mean, it would have been, we wouldn't have heard the end of it if they would have done something dastardly to get rid of his character on film. So, yeah, so I really like the way that they ended the movie. And, you know, obviously, this thing did 150 some million over the weekend. There's going to be another one. So they needed to find a way to move on without him. And I think they did a great job.
Yes, they did. It was good. And as also good was having you join us, Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist. You can find his reviews on KARE 11 News at 11 on Fridays. Mondays, he's on the Tom Bernard Digital Show. Also appears on KQ. And you could also find him on his website, directconversations.com. Tim, thank you so much. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Bob. We'll talk again next week.
We will. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to come right back. We're going to have a little threesome. Three questions, three answers. Geez, I wonder if the Wild will be in there at all. Boy, they're really... Excuse me. I was just doing my imitation of the Wild these last few games. Choking up a hairball.
Scratchy throats.
Yeah, I'm choking because that's... My God, just beat Winnipeg. 2-0, you can't beat Winnipeg. Now they have three really good teams that they're going to play, starting tonight with Chicago, then Nashville, then St. Louis. They are in peril of not making it again. After it looked like they won't make it, and then they had the great, great run, and it looked like they were going to cruise in as the first wild card, and now they're only two ahead of Winnipeg. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that as the day goes on, maybe even in the next segment. When we do the threesome. Be right back.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
3-0, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is.
My wife hates when I sing along
magic
with it.
Because
I have a lousy voice.
Somewhere in
I thought that was you.
It's actually, you know, Hellboy has one hell of a voice.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. He could be an opera star.
He's so modest.
He could be an Olympic sprinter. He could be, he could win the high jump. He has a vertical of 50.
Wow. Meters.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
You know what? But he just said, let somebody else win. I want to be in radio. That's what he said. Hey, we are honored to be joined by Marsh Hallberg. His segment, his sports law segment, is the next segment. But I say, hey, you're here. Come on, do a little threesome with us. We'll have a threesome with you, me, and Hellboy. Wait a minute. That didn't come out right. That didn't come out right.
Can you edit that out? I don't want that to hit the air.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good for your career.
No.
Although,
maybe
it'll bring in some more business.
Yeah,
you never know. All right. We have the threesome, three questions, three answers. Myself and the counselor will attempt to answer these tough, tough questions. And we're going to find out who asked them right now.
Attention, Bob. Oop. I have three questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Number one, how many players in the national championship game played their way into being a lottery pick?
Well, I would say, actually, Tyus is going to be a lottery pick.
You think he's going to go?
Yeah, I do. And I, you know, he could, yes, he could stick around, but his best friend is Jahlil Okafor. That's why they went as a team. They had said that they would go, they were going to, if they went to Baylor or Michigan State, wherever they were going to wind up, it was going to be together.
Okay.
But Okafor is the presumed number one pick, and Justice Winslow is a top five pick.
Absolutely.
Kaminsky, I think he'll wind up being a lottery pick. You know, not a top five, but I think Tyus, if there was any doubt before, he is going into the, he'll be a lottery pick. So I think that there's, I don't know about Decker. I don't think he'll
I was going to say, what did you think about Decker? Because he looked really great when he was crashing the boards and making something
happen.
He
disappeared.
But trying to create his own shot, he looked bad.
No,
he couldn't
just disappeared.
Hit it from the three.
I think, I would say those four, and actually in this order, Okafor, Winslow, although Tyus is, I mean, if you don't, Tyus Jones is like, in a different way, that what happened last year with Teddy Bridgewater. Ah, too small. You had a bit.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you think his height? I mean, NBA is a whole different ballgame.
Guys have been his height and excelled.
Yeah, no, if anybody's going to do it at his height, I absolutely believe he will be one to do that. But you got to pause if you're the guy picking the draft, you know, picking the lottery here.
Well, that's why nobody wants to make it one of the first overall picks because they're nervous about it. But he's going to, wherever he goes, he is going to be a great. As a matter of fact, if I were the Wolves or a Wolves fan, I would want to have a little bit later pick in the lottery because with them having one of the top three picks or so, they're not going to do it there. But getting him, Rubio's always hurt. Now, I mean, he would be a terrific point guard for him.
True.
But I do think it'll be an Tyus, and then I think Kaminsky of the four will be the fourth of them to be picked. Although I think he's going to be a lot better pro than people think he will be. He can create some shots too.
And he's got a real competitive spirit, and of course they all do to be that good. But
Tyus is, I mean, you saw the game.
Wouldn't it be cool to get him here? Local boy come back home?
It'd be terrific, but they would, a lot of people, I mean, he's not expected. I mean, you would think Okafor will go, Town will go.
Yep.
Cauley-Stein will be in that mix. I'm not a big, you like these Harrison twins?
No, their game doesn't translate very well to the pros.
I don't think so. But their attitude.
They're solid role players, I guess you could say.
They need to grow up. They need to mature a little bit. At least one of them does.
They'd be lucky to be a lottery pick. There's a lot of other talent that's higher on a lot of people's lists.
Yeah. But anyway, I do think that there'll be four that will be. But Kaminsky, I think he'll be a lottery pick. But I think he'll wind up being the fourth one. 651-989-9105 if you want to tell me I'm full of it. We'll see.
For any reason.
Yeah, for any reason at all. Not just that. What's the wise guy? What's the second question?
Number two, why have the Wild been playing so much better on the road than they do at home?
Hey, it's not a matter of on the road. They're in a slump now. I mean, it was due to hit. Just hit at a horrible time to lose three straight now and only have a 2-point lead on Winnipeg after losing to Winnipeg.
Chicago's no good, so that's an easy win, right?
Yeah, they're no good, and Nashville's no good, and St. Louis is no good. They may not win a game going forward,
that,
and then they could. I mean, they had. It's almost like they made a deal with someone from another part of the maybe Middle Earth or something. That okay, you know what? We're going to make you competitive right down to the end, and then we're going to put you where you were before. And they're better than they were before, but just winning last night would have clinched the playoff spot.
But the advertising space wouldn't be worth as much money in the next couple games. So maybe there's
no. That's big for the The newspapers love it.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody keeps it right down to the end. So if they're going to do it. They're going to win at least one of these, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hellboy, right?
Now that they're back on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
We still have that 10-game road winning streak.
Yeah, wait till they lose in Chicago tonight. Then we'll see what you say tomorrow.
No, they're going to be fine.
What else?
You think they're going to win? Beat Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to be.
I think the Wild are going to win every night, though.
Yeah, true.
Okay, did you give him one of these cookies?
I did. They were laced with hallucinogens.
I think they might have
been. That's what's happening.
I think that's what it is.
You really think? Okay, you're just saying that because you're
he's hallucinating.
Provoking conversation on the radio.
He's always provoking.
They're not going to win tonight. I wish they would, but we got to wait.
What else you got?
And finally.
Yes, sir.
Is Torrey Hunter setting a good example for the young players by arguing with the ump at the end of yesterday's game?
Yeah, he's fiery. I don't have any problem with that. He should have argued with him. It wasn't, the fact that it was 0-for-4, that's not a good example. But you got to let these young kids know when you need to stand up for yourself, stand up for yourself.
That's right. See, if it's your guy, it's like, then he's got spirit and everything else. If it's the other team, then he's a jerk and unprofessional. So he's our jerk.
But you know what? Passion for the game that you want these young guys to have.
Yeah. But he has earned the right for the time he's put in to challenge an umpire. So I have zero problem with that. And Marsh Hallberg is with us. And when we get back, we will have Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, his sports law segment. Brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. Marsh is going to help us wade through a number of legal-type issues, including Aaron Hernandez things gets weirder and weirder. It's gone to the jury, but, well, Marsh will fill us in when we get back at just how screwy this thing's getting or has gotten. We'll be right back with Marsh Hallberg.